What you're hearing is an armadillo casually strolling through some leaves on a farm in Holden, Missouri. 40 years ago, to see an armadillo in this part of Missouri was rare. The nine-banded armadillo has been creeping its way north from Central America since 1849. Now, they're actually pretty common in the state. I'm Brian Ellison. No actual armadillos in our studio today on Central Standard, but in a way there are, along with weasels and bears and elk and otters and more. We're considering the wide world of wild mammals in Missouri, and joining us is one of the most knowledgeable of those mammals, Larry Rizzo with the Missouri Department of Conservation. Hello, Larry.
Hello, good morning.
Nice to have you here. The nine-banded armadillo has done pretty well over the last few decades, I guess.
Yeah, it sure has. It's poster child, I guess, if we were to pick out a mammal whose population and range have really expanded noticeably in this state. And it's also a very conspicuous animal, too, so people notice them. And unfortunately, a lot of times that's because they tend to get hammered on our roadways pretty badly.
Why is that? Are they just not so sensible about crossing the street?
They're fairly oblivious creatures and not particularly speedy, and many people believe it's because they have this unfortunate habit when they get scared of jumping up. So vehicles that might ride over them safely, they don't do that.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but that is very unfortunate. How common, you mentioned that the armadillos have been moving north gradually. How common is it for the range of an animal to increase like that?
Well, it's fairly common, and the reasons can be all over the map depending on what kind of creature you're talking about. Armadillos appear to be an animal that's just kind of been at that for a very long time. People don't realize that, you know, there's such a cultural, you know, iconic figure, symbol, creature down in Texas.
Mm-hmm, right.
They're fairly new arrivals, even to Texas, you know, in the 1800s, coming up from Central and South America. So they've kind of been marching northward for a very long time.
And is it a silly question to ask why?
I don't know that anyone can really answer that directly.
They're not running out of food and resources to the south or something?
No. As far as I know, their population is still secure there, too. And there are other species of armadillos when you get down into, you know, South America and things as well.
What do armadillos eat anyway?
Insects, grubs, ants, termites, beetles, any kind of invertebrates mostly like that. I don't know that they eat that much plant material. They do a lot of digging, which tends to cause problems with people and occasionally in backyards and gardens and things like that. They dig a lot of holes.
Makes them unpopular.
Yeah.
And other than front bumpers of cars, what eats armadillos?
Oh, certain predators would be able to kill and eat armadillos. Coyotes, bobcats probably, I'm guessing, would be one of the primary ones. And when they're young or newborn, probably other things.
But they've
well.
Got all that armor on
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they're not the easiest meal in the world, but they don't have a lot of defenses other than some fairly sharp claws for digging.
Do you remember when you saw your first Missouri armadillo?
Not specifically. Probably quite a long time ago as a roadkill down in, I'm guessing it would probably have been down in Taney County. We had relatives down there we visited as a kid, and I kind of think even in the 1970s we would see them on the roads there once in a while.
So one of the things that drew us to this topic of mammals was the publication last year of a new third revised edition of the book The Wild Mammals of Missouri, which is this beautiful book originally by Charles and Elizabeth Schwartz in the 1950s. And they revised it, and Elizabeth revised it again in 2001 after her husband Charles died. And now they've both passed away, and the third revision is out. Tell me about this book. Was it an important book in this work?
Yeah, I believe so. And Charles and Elizabeth Schwartz they're really icons within my agency, and they were certainly multi-talented people. They were incredible biologists, but also incredible artists, and good communicators. The book is really kind of a unique book to me because it's very scientific. It was used as our text in mammalogy class. I'm guessing where they're mammalogy classes are taught, it's still used, but yet it still can be picked up and enjoyed by the layman a lot. And there's just incredible information in it.
Yeah.
Drawings.
Yeah, drawings by Charles, right?
Right.
Back in the 50s.
Yeah.
It is really a beautiful book. It also draws the animals, but also their bones, their claws, their teeth. You can tell it's a scientist's love.
Right. the skulls and teeth are really useful to a biologist, but they can be useful to any person as well. If you find a mammal skull with teeth, I mean, that's teeth are one of the primary ways that mammals are differentiated as mm-hmm. far as what relationships you give them, the scientific names you give them. So, and you can see that in the book very plainly. So if you're just out and about, you come across any kind of mammal skull with teeth in it and you have that book, you can figure out what it is.
So it's interesting to me that there have had to be revision after revision after revision of this book. How much do things really change? I mean, the animals don't look different.
Well, nothing is static in nature, and that's the same with mammals. We have species like armadillos where we have to, you know, increase their range or show where they're found, where that has changed. I believe the last treatment of that book, they were not given a full treatment even, and it was
right. They're
left.
Just occasional visitors.
Yeah, and I believe there's some language that says it remains to be seen whether they'll become a permanent part of our fauna, and we can certainly answer that now. So things like that, there's nomenclature changes where you just change the name of a creature, either its common name, scientific name, or both. There are animals reintroduced to the state, like elk recently, that, you know, need to be updated.
Yeah, I want to talk about the elk, in fact. We're talking with Larry Rizzo, a natural history biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation. Before we talk about elk, what does that mean? You're a natural history biologist. What do you do anyway?
Well, natural history is basically the study of plants and animals in their natural environment. Museum of Natural History mm-hmm. kind of thing. I'm not an historian per se, as sometimes I get. So you know a lot about history. It's not quite like that. In the course of my job, I work with our best quality natural communities as well as rare and endangered species and non-game species.
Okay. And so are you typically sitting at a desk, or are you typically out in the field looking at these animals?
Not more than I can help it. I have a 12-county region, and I'm in the field as much as I can, especially this time of year.
Wow. Sounds like a fun job.
It is. No complaints.
So you mentioned the elk as one of the things that have been reintroduced since the last edition of the book. Tell me about what that even means. What was the state of elks in Missouri?
Elk were once quite common, you know, prior to, we use the term all the time in pre-settlement days, and that means prior to European settlement. Elk were very common in our state. Today, people tend to think of elk as a Rocky Mountain creature, high elevation, et cetera. It's not the case at all. They were all over the eastern United States, all across the Great Plains. The Great Plains were, you know, the American Serengeti, it's been called, the vast herds of buffalo,
right.
Elk. Large predatory mammals, you know, wolves and bears. The reason elk are confined to places of the Rockies or at one point got to that state was because they were exploited and killed everywhere else, and that was their refuge.
Not because that was their only natural habitat.
Exactly. So Missouri had a nice mixture of forests and woodlands and prairies and savannas, and that kind of thing is very nice for elk. They don't like just huge blocks of unbroken forest. They like some meadows where there's different plants for them to feed on, that type of thing. And that's what we had in pre-settlement days, and we've tried to recreate that to some extent where they've been reintroduced.
And where have they been reintroduced in Missouri?
It's in the southeastern Ozarks. I believe there's three counties, and I you know, off the top of my head, Shannon County is definitely one of them. I believe it's Shannon, Wayne, and Reynolds County. Which,
so these are fairly unpopulated counties in southeastern Missouri.
And just to put a locator on it for most people, if you get down to the Ozarks, you might be familiar with the Current River. You know, in the scenic riverways area, just think of that kind of part of Missouri.
All right. And what does that mean that they were reintroduced? How was that actually physically done?
We got them from Kentucky, who had done their own reintroductions earlier. Many states in the East have now done this. Arkansas reintroduced elk to the Boston Mountains down there in the 1980s. So, and as a matter of fact, we have some elk that have spread up from Arkansas in a different part of the state that are very small numbers. But we got them from Kentucky.
And why, maybe this goes without saying for a biologist, but why would you do this? Why is it important to reintroduce elk? If they're doing okay in the mountains, why bring them back to Missouri?
Well, it's our charge as an agency to manage the state's wildlife for the people of Missouri. And when an animal is, you know, formerly found in our state and we think the biological conditions will support them again, that's just kind of what we do, mm-hmm. barring any, you know, cultural or societal barriers against it. You know, we won't be reintroducing timber wolves in Missouri because our habitat won't support them. So things like that have to be taken into consideration.
Are there no risks or downsides to having elk?
Well, there are, and they're controversial among some people. Elk are known to carry some diseases that can be transferred to domestic cattle, so livestock producers have concerns about elk. There's also concerns about crop damage, perhaps people running into them the way you do deer, but it's a much larger animal.
Yeah.
I don't know of any instances that's occurred in Missouri or Arkansas. I'm sure it probably has at some point.
How many elk are we talking about now in Missouri?
I don't know how many we have it currently.
Dozens or hundreds?
Oh, certainly dozens, yeah. Yeah, probably hundreds. I think we have a couple hundred.
Wow, okay. We're talking with Larry Rizzo, a natural history biologist, about mammals in Missouri. If you're wondering what happened to that jackrabbit you used to see, we'd love to hear from you. If you can't tell your prairie vole from your eastern mole, give us a call and ask Larry your question about Missouri's mammals at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also tweet at us. We're at KCURCST. The elk is one animal that's been reintroduced and had an upsurge. Another animal that seems to be on the rise is the river otter. Tell us about the river otter.
Well, otters, again, were an animal that was probably statewide pre-settlement times, probably in part due to either exploitation from fur trade, from trapping, and from habitat degradation. They declined to the point where they were only present in parts of the Boot Heel in southeastern Missouri, some of the swamps that we have remaining down in the Boot Heel. In the 1980s, we began a very aggressive restocking program of otters in different places around the state, including northern Missouri. We got most of the otters from Louisiana in trades with other wildlife. We trade them turkeys, for example.
Huh.
Sometimes three-way trades with other states would be brokered.
It's like Major League Baseball.
Yeah, very much.
All right.
But they really took off, and quite frankly, took off at a rate that surprised and took us aback.
as in to say you overdid it?
Well, no, I wouldn't put it that way. There were concerns, and probably still are in some quarters, that their effect on game fish populations in rivers in the Ozarks, because they certainly do eat fish. But they are a part of our fauna and belong here. I like to canoe in the Ozarks, and I really enjoy seeing them. I see them maybe if I'm lucky once every year or two when I'm down there.
Why had they not been able to kind of break out on their own? They were down in the southeast corner, right? I mean, what was keeping the river otter from success?
Well, Brian, that's kind of a $64 million biological question, and I posed that once to our fur bearer biologist, and he didn't have a really good answer for that. It is kind of a mystery that, you know, they were present there in numbers, but yet when we reintroduced them in other places, they really took off. I would speculate that perhaps the populations down there were just too isolated. If you know what southeast Missouri looks like, it's vast expanses of cropland without a lot of good habitat in many places.
Yeah.
And then these tiny pockets of remnant habitat, and they just, for whatever reason, didn't break out of there.
Are there other animals that are having currently a renaissance or a Missouri success story that come to mind for you? Mammals, anyway.
Well, one personally, and I don't have anything to back this up except just anecdotally, but to me, at least right around here in Kansas City, just to make it local, groundhogs.
Really?
I mean, I was a little nature nerd and paid attention to wildlife growing up, and I don't remember ever seeing groundhogs when I was a kid, and it's a daytime animal, fairly large. They're very visible. I just can't imagine I wouldn't have noticed them if they were here.
Huh.
And now, to me, they're just all over the place.
And tell, what is the groundhog exactly? What is it related to? What else?
It's a rodent. Mm-hmm. It's one of our largest rodents, probably the largest rodent next to beaver in our state.
Where do we see them typically?
Typically grassy areas, often or in woods, but often near the edges of the woods. I mean, if you drive through Swope Park today, you will see groundhogs, for instance, and, you know, mowed grass areas at the edges of the timber. But even, you know, in just in fairly urbanized areas. I see groundhogs around today.
I read that in the book, the revised version of the book, that the meadow vole is doing better, or is growing. Is that true?
Yeah, I think they've been expanding their range. I can't talk about voles a whole lot, except that my professor in college, I know, had some of the early records of that thing. It was fairly rare and up near the Iowa line, and I believe they've expanded southward quite a bit. Those small mammal populations are kind of difficult to get a pulse on because they're naturally very cyclical in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a little tricky to judge kind of long-term trends with sometimes.
The book says that there are 72 species of wild mammals established in Missouri. I'm actually surprised it's not a higher number. Not that I could name 72 mammals, but it just seems like
I couldn't have told you that number off the top of my head, but that I probably would have guessed lower, actually. So that sounds like a lot to me.
Well, that's
mammals
that's
are, we got to remember, are kind of, you know, they're the megafauna. They're the top of the food chain kind of thing, the larger creatures, most advanced creatures as far as classes of animals go. The amazing thing to me about mammals is, though, despite that so many of them are still so secretive and hard to view despite their size and sometimes their abundance, we still just don't see them very often.
816-235-2888 is the number to call with questions about mammals in Missouri. Phil in Excelsior Springs is on the line. Hello, Phil.
Oh, good morning. As an enthusiastic but not very successful deer hunter, I'm interested in the health of our whitetail herd in Missouri, and in particular, the threat posed by chronic wasting disease today and in the foreseeable future.
Thanks for the question, Phil. What's the situation for white-tailed deer?
Well, Phil, you have touched upon an entire show topic right there. Chronic wasting disease and other things affecting deer is a huge topic of great importance to the Department of Conservation. Chronic wasting disease is a concern. It's a disease that's popped up in three or four different areas of the state that we're monitoring. Other states have had the disease for quite a while. It's related to mad cow disease in nature, but hasn't even been proven to that the people can contract it, but it's certainly a concern. We are monitoring it very closely, and I can assure you myself and most people who work for my agency will be out on opening weekend of deer season taking samples of deer this year. So we're really making an all-out push to figure out where that disease is and try to keep it contained. Kind of, we view it as kind of spot fire, spot overs right now, and we're trying to keep it that way.
Thanks, Phil, for the call.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Dennis in Kansas City. Hello, Dennis.
Hi. I believe, and I could be totally wrong, but I think I saw a dead bobcat on I-29 yesterday. Is any information about that?
Is it possible that Dennis saw a dead bobcat along the interstate?
Yeah, quite likely. We have lots of bobcats around, including in the city limits. People don't realize that. They do not eat your children. Relax. but I've seen episodes actually on local TV occasionally where one's spotted near school and the reporter's standing out there with an alarmed look on their face and, oh my gosh, what should we do? Well, they're around. That's one of my examples of an animal that, despite its size, is seldom seen. Very secretive. They don't get hit by cars very often, so that's the most unusual part of it. But yeah, we certainly have bobcats around.
Is it of concern to you when you hear a story like that, or is that just going to happen? It's a sign that something is wrong when a bobcat is venturing onto a highway.
Oh, no. I mean, they probably, I think they just are fairly savvy creatures as far as getting across highways and don't get themselves hit too much. For as many coyotes as we have around, which are extremely common, they're right here where we are speaking, right along Brush Creek in the
mm-hmm.
plaza.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, for the numbers that are out there, they don't get hit by cars all that often.
Yeah,
they're
don't
smart
see
animals.
Them and don't hear about them.
Yeah.
Let's take one more call from Ken in Mission. Hello, Ken.
Hello. I want to thank you for the show. I really appreciated it.
Thanks for calling.
My question has to do with flying squirrels. I know that I've seen a couple in our neighborhood and was wondering how prevalent they are in the community.
Where are you in general, Ken? What part of town?
In Mission, Kansas.
Neat. Yeah, they're around in the city. I've never seen that animal live, and I'd sure like to. I've been out camping, been out at night where I know the sounds I was hearing up in the trees are from flying squirrels, but I've never seen them. They will be around in the older neighborhoods with big mature trees. I know in the Brookside neighborhood, I've got reports of them. If you really want to try to see one and think they might be around, put out a feeder with peanuts, whole peanuts in it that they can get to, and put a camera on that at night and see if they turn up. But neat little creatures.
Ken, yeah, keep your eyes open. Thanks for the call, Ken. Really appreciate you you letting us know about that. I do want to, before we run out of time here, I want to mention that there are a few animals that have gone the other direction over the years since this book was first published. One that's mentioned is the white-tailed jackrabbit. The book even goes so far as to give an exact account. It says, the last known white-tailed jackrabbits in Missouri were one hit by a vehicle and killed in 1976 at the Harrison-Mercer County line and one shot in Gentry County in 1980. And that apparently, those were the last two jackrabbits white-tailed in Missouri.
Yeah, as far as the white-tails, they're probably a function of what happened to our prairies as much as anything. We also had the black-tailed jackrabbit in southwest Missouri, and that's probably not such a sad tale because their disappearance is probably tied to the fact that we don't have as many overgrazed pastures around anymore because that was the habitat they favored. So.
Well, before we go, I know that one topic that that you get a lot of calls about is the question of mountain lions in Missouri. We do have them?
Yeah, we get wandering mountain lions that come through Missouri. I believe we are now up to over 50 documented verified mountain lion reports since the mid-1990s. We have no evidence of a breeding population here. It's a function that the males, and they typically are young males, range much farther than females. Females stay close to home. These males are being driven out by other males looking for their own territory. They can cover hundreds of miles in a very short time, often follow the Missouri River and show up here. We could have a breeding population of mountain lions next week or never in Missouri, quite frankly.
If that happened, would that be a serious danger to humans?
Well, no, I would not say a serious danger, although mountain lion, attacks on humans have, there are many more documented now than there have been historically, and that's because there are many more mountain lions and more people living close to mountain lion habitat. It does take some awareness if you have mountain lions around. It would be an educational thing to teach people how to deal with them, but no cause for alarm. Most of the mountain lion reports we get, frankly, are not mountain lions. They're everything from yellow tabby cats to yellow labs to bobcats. people often, though, are under the impression that our agency is trying to deny that they're here or that we reintroduce them. We did not reintroduce them. We have never denied their presence when we have verified reports. We have had a thing called the Mountain Lion Response Team since the late 1990s, and what I always tell people is, we have no Bigfoot response team, so we believe we know mountain lions are around. That's why we created that.
But make sure it's not a yellow lab before
that's
you
right.
call. Well, very good. Well, thanks, Larry. That's Larry Rizzo, natural history biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation. Appreciate you coming in.
Sure thing, Brian.
When we come back, we'll shift from the wild mammals of Missouri to the hopelessly less wild world of medicine in rural Kansas and the experience of one woman who spent a perhaps unlikely summer there to learn to be a doctor. That's when KCUR Central Standard continues. I'm Brian Ellison. Stay with us.